Tonight's scripture reading is going to be from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 27 through 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 27 and 31, and this will be from the ESV. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way.
Good evening. What a difference a couple of hours makes. If you were not here for the service for Ethan Brown, this auditorium was full. There were a very few places vacant, so the number was somewhere between 550 and 600. But keep the Browns in your prayers. They really need God's help. They need our prayers and encouragement, support, and I know you'll do that. This is a very gracious and loving congregation. I'm happy and proud to be a part of it, and so thank you for all you do to help so many. Let's get our Bibles out. Let's get into the Word of God. I hope you've got your Bible with you and that you'll join in and participate in learning as we go through these scriptures. I'll walk down memory road for a minute. When I was a child, I lived for Christmas. About October, mid-October, I guess, the Sears catalog arrived in the mail, and the Montgomery Ward catalog, maybe Spiegel, that was another one that came. And I just loved looking through them, finding things I just could not do without. Didn't know I needed them, but I now knew I had to have these things. And of course, I didn't get all those things. I got a few of them. And I just loved Christmas, opening those gifts. But it was later in life when I really understood the best gifts were right there all year long. My mother and my father were the best parents that I could hope for. They provided all the necessities of life. They provided the encouragement, the education, the spiritual nurture that I needed. And that was really what was best. But for a while, I thought, well, Christmas is here. This is it. And then I came to a better understanding. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 31, that Trey read for us just then. Listen again to what Paul says there. Earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. The church at Corinth had been given some pretty amazing capabilities. Some had one gift, some had another. And the tragic thing was it had devolved into bitterness and jealousy and fraction. One was saying, my gift is better than yours, and another said, well, yours is not worth very much, and that was just all wrong. And so Paul says, earnestly desire the better gifts, the higher gifts. And that's a good question. What did Paul mean by that? What do we yearn for? And is it something that we can still desire today? And so let's take a few minutes and think about this together, because I believe there's certainly some higher gifts that we may not realize we have. First of all, let's identify what those higher gifts mean that we just read about. Now, the larger context of this verse is chapters 12 through 14. And in these three chapters, Paul is discussing the gifts, the spiritual, we call them miraculous gifts, that have been given to Christians in the early ages. And, you know, it's not clear. We don't think every Christian was given a miraculous gift. We don't know that for sure, but doesn't seem likely. And there were about nine that are listed in this section, various kinds of gifts, but one of them seemed to stand out above the others, and that was the ability to speak in other languages. And if you've ever struggled with communicating with somebody that talks a different language, you can imagine how wonderful this would be to be able to communicate. But some seem to be using it just to kind of show off. You know, let me impress you with how well I can speak this language, even though they themselves may not have understood what they were saying. And there again is a debatable point. But that's the context. They were arguing over miraculous gifts. And that's where Paul makes the statement again. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 31, earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. So that brings up the question, what exactly were these higher gifts he was talking about? Were they miraculous or were they non-miraculous? Well, there's a case to be made on both sides of that, I think. For example, go down to chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians and verse 1. And in between 12:31 and 14:1 is chapter 13. And you know what 1 Corinthians 13 is all about. It's the great love chapter. But remember, it's in that context of discussing the right way to use and the wrong way to use miraculous gifts. Now, in chapter 14, verse 1, Paul says, pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Now, we should note in chapter 12, verse 31, higher gifts is translated from the Greek words megas charisma. Megas meaning great or large. In fact, the New King James will say the best gifts, and charisma referring to the gifts that have been given. In chapter 14 and verse 1, here Paul is talking about, there are gifts that need to be desired, and he says, earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, and he talks about prophecy as one of those. And then he goes on further in chapter 14 to give the reason why. If you prophesy, assuming that it's to a group of people that speak the language you speak, you are encouraging them. You are giving them things that they need to hear. It's understandable. It's legible, you might say. But if you're speaking in a foreign tongue, all they know is you're speaking in a foreign tongue. It makes no sense to them. And he will go on to say, let all things be done for edification, so that we may all grow, that we may all understand what God's will is for us. And so looking at that, that would say, well, he's probably talking about a miraculous gift, because if you really want to do what's best, then prophesy. Prophesy because there is the teaching that the people need. It is teaching that is not yet recorded in a written form, and therefore people need to hear it. And then, as we look back on chapter 13, the discussion of love may have been a way of saying, this is how you use your miraculous gifts. Don't do it as a way of showing out or boasting. And he talks about how love is not any of that. Love is not boastful. It is not a way of showing out. Instead, it is a way of helping one another. And so that chapter 13 may lead us toward that conclusion that here is the right way, that is by love, to use any of the gifts that God gives us. But then on the other hand, there's a case to be made for the higher gifts being non-miraculous. Look at chapter 13 and verse 13, the end of chapter 13. After Paul has talked about love and its greatness, he says, so now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these, the megas of these, and notice there the same word, earnestly desire the best gifts, the higher gifts, megas. And now in chapter 13, verse 13, the greatest of these is love. And there it may be saying, well, this is what we're looking at. Now, the time would come, and it would be within a generation or so, when the miraculous gifts would cease. I feel very confident in making that statement based on two or three different lines of reasoning. But the day would come when those miraculous gifts would cease. There would be no more speaking in an unknown tongue without learning it first. There would be no more prophecy. So are we on our own then? Or are these higher gifts something that will still be with us? And of course they will. And that was what Paul was saying in chapter 13, verse 13. J.W. McGarvey, who was an excellent scholar of the Bible, although he lived 150 years ago or so, he looked at this passage, and I want to share with you what he said about this phrase, I will show you a still more excellent way. He said, this may mean that I show you a most excellent way to attain unto the best gifts, or I show you a way of love to which all may attain and which far exceeds any gift or position. And that would kind of point us in the direction of the higher gifts is referring to faith, hope, love, things that have survived, that endure long after the miraculous gifts have gone by the way. And so I'm going to look at it in that respect. I think there is certainly a case to be made for it referring to the miraculous primarily at the beginning, but now for us in an age where those gifts do not continue, I think the non-miraculous interpretation may be the best. So with that in mind, let's just think about those three, faith, hope, and love, and how they are the higher gifts. First of all, the gift of faith. The gift of faith. Faith is the noun form of the Greek word pistis. The verb form is pistuo, and it is believe. And you look at those two words, they look very different. And a lot of times, we don't connect them in the English. Well, this is talking about faith. This is talking about belief. Two different things. Not really. Because faith means I believe. I trust. I put my faith in God to lead me and to teach me the right things, even though God is invisible to my eyes. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, we know very well. It tells us how vital faith is. The writer there said in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. And both of those ideas, that he exists, that he rewards, we have to take by faith. Because we can't see God with our eyes. We don't hear his voice with our ears unless he chooses to do that. And I've not heard him speak, frankly. I believe it, though. I know that God is. And I know that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so it's something that we absolutely must have. But where does it come from? Well, Romans 10, verse 17 is the passage that talks about that. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. And when you think about it, it makes perfect sense. Paul said faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the word of Christ. Meaning, my faith comes through the Bible. I have to read the Bible for myself and think about what I've read. And then when I reason, when I see what God is capable of doing, what God has done, then I come to my decision. Do I believe this? And in my case, I have, absolutely. I believe in God, and it's because of the word of Christ. And how did we get that? It is a gift from God. So faith is a gift from God, we could say. God has given us this book from which we derive our faith. It is one of the higher gifts. It's the way we walk through life. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, you know that. A very simple statement. We walk by faith, not by sight. And that means that sometimes we have to just say, no, I cannot walk that way, even though most of the world is, even though I'm being told this is the way to live. I trust God. I listen to Him, and He's telling me to go a different direction. Think of it as a GPS. We plug in the address we are aiming to get to, and we say, okay, I'm going to go wherever it tells me. And sometimes we may doubt along the way. We may say, this doesn't seem right. But many times it will end up taking us just where we want to go. Well, in the case of God, we plug in the address, heaven, a wonderful life here on earth, and a beautiful afterlife. And God says, I'll show you. Follow my directions. Do we trust Him enough to do that? Faith is, in my opinion, one of those higher gifts. Secondly, let's talk about the gift of hope. Hope, how would you define that? Well, hope is that destination that we're wanting to get to. Hope might be a life, a good life here on earth in which I can get along with people, in which I feel secure, I enjoy peace of mind, I have joy in my heart. That's the address. And then ultimately, I want to know that even after this body wears out, I will be somewhere, and somewhere wonderful. And so that's, again, an address that I plug in to my hope GPS. And it works that way with our lives, doesn't it? We have a hope for a good retirement. Some of you are enjoying that now, where it leads you to live differently than you would otherwise. Because I want to have a good retirement, I'm going to set aside money that I could be using right now, but I'm going to enjoy it later. My hope changes my spending habits. Or maybe it is a trip that we're anxious to take, Hawaii, let's say. And in order to do that, we're going to have to cut back on some expenses. We're going to have to change this or that. Hope operates in a lot of different spheres of life, but especially in the big picture. Romans chapter 8, verses 24 and 25 talks about how hope, again, is a vital trait. Romans chapter 8, verses 24 and 25, and listen to how important it is, according to Paul. In this hope, we were saved. In this hope, we were saved. Now, hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. And again, that's the power of hope. Hope gives us the ability to wait for it. In this life, there's a lot of pleasures we could jump right into and live it up with the rest of the world. But we're saying, as Christians, we're going to put that off. God tells us that is sinful, and therefore I'm going to wait, knowing that what God has for me later is going to be so much better. And again, that hope will save us because we have a goal that we're aiming toward. It is powerful. It gives us endurance. Another way to look at it is that of Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19. And listen to the image we're given there of hope. He says, we have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain. So there, hope is compared to an anchor. If you are familiar with boating or sailing, you know exactly what an anchor does. You want to settle down in a certain place, maybe to fish or maybe to spend the night, and you don't want the waves to carry you somewhere else. So you drop an anchor, and it grips on a firm foundation underneath. And if there's nothing firm to grip to underneath, you're going to just drift along. But he says that's what our hope is. Hope is like an anchor of the soul. And though trials come in our lives, though temptations pull at us, our hope says we're staying right here because we know whom we have believed, and we know that he's going to come through on his promises. So again, hope is the firm, the wonderful higher gift that we've been given as Christians. Faith is the basis of our hope. If we don't believe in God, then why would we aim for heaven? Why would we worry about pleasing Him? And again, hope is a gift from God. And then let's talk about love. The gift of love, which again I'm claiming is a higher gift that we've been given. You remember Jesus' discussion in Matthew 22, 36 through 40, where someone says, tell me, what is the greatest law? And there were about 630 some to choose from, if you look at all the iterations of it in the Old Testament. And this lawyer thought, well, I've got him on the horn of a dilemma. He'll not be able to give me one that everybody would agree with. And yet Jesus said, without hesitation, you'll love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And the second one is like to it, and that is love your neighbor as yourself. And he said, on these two hang all the law and the prophets. In other words, that will affect everything that we do in life. Loving God and loving one another are so important, so prevalent. They will change our lives. In Colossians 3, verse 14, here again is a statement of the power of love. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 14. Paul said, above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. It binds everything together in perfect harmony. And that's what love can do. It can bring people that have no common background and blend them together into a family called the church. And we love one another here. We will do things for one another that need to be done because love changes our lives. 1 Corinthians 13, which we talked about earlier, look at verses 7 and 8 particularly, and notice the power of love described in these few words. 1 Corinthians 13, 7, and the first part of verse 8, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. Powerful, powerful love. It is a gift from God. And how is it that we're able to love? How do we learn that? Why do we want to love? John answers that again in a very short verse. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. 1 John 4, verse 19, where he says very simply, we love because he first loved us. And as we contemplate what God has done for us, what Christ did for us in coming to this earth, our hearts are melted, if we have hearts that are still malleable. Our hearts are melted, and we say, what can I do for the Lord? Because he did so much for me. So again, here is a gift, a higher gift, that I think we're called to recognize and to exercise, to use it. You know, sometimes God gives us gifts that never get used. But in this case, these will make the difference. And again, in our times of trials and temptations, when we are tempted to just give it up, this doesn't work. Faith, hope, and love will hold us steady right there in the arms of the Lord. Let me close by giving you the example of Abraham as described in Hebrews chapter 11. Because I think Abraham exemplifies these higher gifts. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 8, listen to what the writer says there. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. Like the writer said, that was by faith. He had no clue where it was going to be, what it would be like. Why would a man do something like that? Because you have faith in the one who called you. You believe that he's going to lead you to a good place. By faith, he went out. Verse 9, by faith, he went to live in the land of promise. And there's the idea of hope, the promise. And it was something that Abraham clung to. I know God is going to fulfill his promise. And even though it took a long time for him to have the son, and he never really got to enjoy the blessing of the land, yet he knew his descendants would. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. They also were held in place by their hope. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. Do you know anybody else that lives with a hope of something amazing that is in the future? I'm looking at them right now. We all have that hope, don't we? We all are looking forward to that inheritance in heaven. And again, the faith of Abraham, the hope of Abraham. Now go down to verse 13. These all died in faith. So we're talking about more than just Abraham, but including Abraham. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. And I want you to look at that word in the ESV, greeted. It is translated as embraced in the King James, which I like. In fact, it may be a little closer to the original meaning. As I understand it, the original meaning of the Greek word can mean to enfold one's arms around something, as in a loved one. You give them a hug. It's something you embrace. It's something you want to hold close to you. And that's what it's saying about all of these that died in faith. They followed God in faith. They lived in hope, not having received the things promised, but they greeted them. They embraced them because they knew that God loved them and they loved God. It is that higher gift. Trials come upon God's people and sometimes sweep them off the narrow path. But by developing, nurturing, growing faith, hope, and love in our lives, we make it much more likely that we will continue on, even in the worst of storms. Are you a child of God tonight? Wouldn't you like to express your faith in Him by obeying the gospel, being baptized into Christ? We'd love to help you with that. And if you are a child of God, have you been faithful, or is there sin that needs to be repented of? We urge you to do that. And let's pray for your forgiveness. Whatever we can do to help. Come as we stand and sing.